Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure, if you guys want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Any thoughts on what the Rams, the Chargers, the Raiders have done? Any questions you got from myself or Kirk Morrison, we'll be happy to answer them. This is the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special. Very, very happy to introduce Chris Hayre, the Chargers team reporter. Chris, thank you for taking some time and joining the show.
Alan, long time, man. It's always a pleasure.
Sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, Chris. We're doing good. Thank you. Well, let's do this. Let's kind of get started right away on the Chargers front. So, obviously, it's a very, very important draft for the Chargers. I know you got a chance to connect with head coach Anthony Lynn. What did he think of how the Chargers did in round one, and specifically the players that the Chargers drafted?
Well, I think Coach was thrilled. I think the entire organization was thrilled. They got their guy at six in Justin Herbert. Big kid, 42 starts at Oregon. Last game was a win at the Rose Bowl. So they loved everything about him. And just really throughout this pre-draft process, he won MVP of the Senior Bowl, had his pro day, showed up at the combine. So they got their guy at six. Then they traded in to the first round, 23 overall, to trade with the Patriots to get another guy they were super high on. And I know Kirk appreciates linebacker play, Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, man. 325 tackles, 36.5 tackles for loss at Oklahoma. He is going to immediately fill a need for the Chargers and just add another layer, another playmaker to this talented defense. So you sacrifice a day two pick to get Murray, but I think the Chargers are more than happy with the result.
You know, Chris, in your opinion, and maybe just kind of your feel being around the organization, how close did it come to them trading up to either possibly get Tua or them just sitting pack and getting Justin Herbert? Do you think that they really just targeted Justin Herbert the entire time, or was Tua really in the discussion for the Chargers?
You know, Kurt, I think it's hard to say. I will say this. I know they're more than comfortable with Justin. I think that was their guy. The thing with Herbert, and I talked about this last night, so Joe Burrow goes number one overall. Tua goes five. Two of Joe Burrow's weapons, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, go in the first round. Two of Tua Tagovailoa's weapons, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and the left tackle,
Willis.
Jedrick
mm-hmm.
Wills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all go in the first round. So I want to see what Justin Herbert looks like with the set of weapons that he's going to be eventually playing with in Los Angeles, with a big play guy in Mike Williams, who went over 1,000 yards receiving. We know what Keenan Allen is. Austin Eckler, 7 yards of 1,000 yards receiving, and a reliable tight end in Hunter Henry. Right now, Tyrod has the inside track to start, obviously, but you look at Justin Herbert, and you just wonder, what is it going to be like when you have weapons that he's never had before? And you couple that with his athleticism, his mobility. We know he had those three rushing touchdowns in the Rose Bowl. I think there's the recipe for success is in place. It's just a matter of him getting up to speed. And Kirk, you know as well as anybody, as a rookie, it's hard enough to come into the league and make an impact. Now, with everything going on in our world and our country, it's going to be even harder for rookies to get a leg up in the offseason. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Okay, Chris, before I go to my next question, don't hate us here, okay? But the number 80 pick is in. The Las Vegas Raiders, here's Roger Goodell.
3, 2. Thank you to the Pruitt family. The entire NFL family joins me in offering our condolences as we join you tonight in honoring Rico's memory by making this next pick in his honor. With the 80th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Lynn Bowden, running back, Kentucky.
All right, Lynn Bowden Jr. out of Kentucky. So, Chris, yesterday, Kirk and I were going back on the AFC West just as a whole, and Kirk thinks that the Raiders and the Chargers right there behind the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs, obviously, the class of the AFC West. What do you think just of where the Chargers are right now? I don't know if that 5-11 season was indicative of they lost a lot of close games. They lost a lot of games by one possession. I think there was four games they lost by a field goal or less. How do you think the Chargers walking into this upcoming season, just in general, how do you think they're looking in the AFC West?
Well, you go back 2 years ago, right? You're 12-4 and then 5-11 last year. So you're wondering in 2020, which Chargers team is going to show up? Is it going to be a team that won 12 games and had a pretty dominating defense and a prolific offense? Or is it going to be the team that turned the ball over a ton and couldn't get the football on defense? So you bring in Chris Harris Jr. And I think one of the things that really hurt this team last year was the absence of Derwin James. When he got hurt in training camp, I don't care what anybody says, a second-year player, he meant that much to not only being on the field, but in the locker room. What he provided, he was just this jolt of energy that it kind of permeated through the locker room. So, you know, Melvin Gordon coming into the season late and missing training camp. You know, Phillip had some issues with the football. So this year, I look at a defense that added Super Bowl champions and Chris Harris Jr., Linval Joseph. You bring in a guy like Kenneth Murray, you hope Derwin James can stay healthy. And when Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa are on their game, there's no better duo in football in terms of the pass rushers. So I look at the division, though, Alan, and you mentioned it. It looks like everybody's trying to add speed, right? The Raiders get Henry Ruggs. The Broncos got Jerry Jeudy and just drafted K.J. Hamler, the speedster from Penn State. But you have to be able to slow the Chiefs down. And I think the Chargers have a defense that can do that. And they've actually had some success slowing the Chiefs down over the last couple of years. It's like an NBA team trying to play with the Warriors. If you don't have the horses to play with the Warriors, it's probably best you try something else. So the Chargers have a pretty prolific offense, but can they get that defense humming this year in 2020, slow down some of these offenses in the AFC West? If they do that, I think they got a good shot.
Well, I'll tell you this. The Raiders are drafting every wide receiver left on the board because they just drafted another one, Chris. So they realize this is about to be a track meet. And that's some of the what Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, just reading some comments from him yesterday, that this AFC West is going to be a track meet now. They're trying to turn this into a track meet. With that being said, just on the defensive side, though, any progress with Joey Bosa? In a new contract. I mean, here's a guy going into the final year of his contract. We know he's probably going to get a big money deal. Where are the Chargers right now with Joey Bosa, you think? I know they want to keep him long term, but what do you think that they do either with the contract this year or there's still some room left in his draft maybe to go out and try to add some more depth to that pass rush?
Yeah, well, obviously Joey is a fantastic player. And I mean, I don't know anything. I think all's been quiet on that front. But you're right. You want to keep your best players. And Joey Bosa, it's hard to believe, too, because, Kurt, we talked about Nick Bosa so much last year.
Correct.
It's hard to believe that Joey's like 24 years old. You know what I mean? And you would think right. He's like 30. So to have a guy like him and Melvin Ingram, obviously you want to keep those guys in tow for as long as possible. And then you want to continue to add to your defense. And I think a guy like Uchenna Nwosu, I can see him to kind of take him. The next step in year three in terms of rushing the passer. I mentioned a guy like Linval Joseph. And a big key to next year are the two guys that they drafted on defense, Kirk. Jerry Tillery last year, 28 overall, kind of came on slow, a little bit of training camp. If he can do something, because he provides a pass rush from the interior that I think will really be beneficial to this defense. And then Nazir Adderley, a guy who we saw in the fourth preseason game, he could have had three interceptions in that fourth preseason game. Him and Derwin James together, if you can get to see Nas on the field, that's another playmaker to take the football away. So, obviously, Joey and Melvin starts with those guys, but there's some other younger pieces that we didn't really see take that full leap last year that I'm expecting to see a little bit more from in 2020.
Chris, fantastic stuff, buddy. Thanks for taking some time and kind of breaking it down for us. Great intel on the Chargers.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while, man, so it's always a pleasure.
Good to talk to you, Chris.
Appreciate it, man. All right, that's Chris Harey. Okay, this is where we're sitting right now. We're not too far from the Rams. Third round pick number 84. But before we go to break, NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. Thank you to LAPD. Okay, looking at the draft board right now, Broncos are on the clock. After that, it's the Los Angeles Rams. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. By the way, call in anytime, 877-710-ESPN. This is the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special, or maybe most of these picks that they have on the defensive side. Would you be surprised if it's another offensive player here in the third round?
No. I would say that right now the Rams are in a situation where they don't necessarily have to go defense. They're You know, free agent acquisitions are going to come through now, which is Leonard Floyd and A'shaun Robinson. And as I'm speaking, just watching another LSU player just get drafted. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Why not?
It's just, man. But no, seriously, with the Rams right now being on the clock, I honestly believe that I wouldn't be surprised if they went linebacker here. Okay. Mm-hmm. They need an inside linebacker. They lost Corey Littleton to the Raiders in free agency. Right now, it's just like a Micah Kizer, Traven Howard. They got some guys in there, but nobody that I think that you can kind of look at to be a starter, right? A lot of competition is going to be in that group. And who is going to be that guy for the new defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley? So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Rams do here. I really believe that if they get a linebacker, that'd be great for them. They need an inside presence.
I'm gonna read off a quote here. Les Snead, this was over the last couple of days. So internally, we have, let's call it, solid to good to high hopes for this group, and we got to do our best to develop them. And he's talking about the linebackers, but also looking at the draft to say, hey, can we add a complementary piece to go with this group? You mentioned Corey Littleton gone in free agency, Dante Fowler. So this is obviously an important pick for the Rams, and it's kind of interesting because if you look at Kirk, if you look at them grabbing a wide receiver and a running back, so maybe you don't expect them to target those positions moving forward. So linebacker, you think? How about safety? If there's maybe somebody from the offensive line, or do you think right now you're keying in on a linebacker?
I think I'm keying in linebacker. You can go safety, you know, with the retirement of Eric Weddle. You can go edge rusher because you lost – Dante Fowler, Clay Matthews, two of your top sack getters of 2019. So how do you go out and address that need? I know Leonard Floyd, he's going to give you some of that pass rush ability, but the Rams, they can't always rely on Aaron Donald. Now, look, getting Michael Brockers back helps out, but that's more the interior. So you're going to have to bang on a Obanaya Okoronkwo as well as maybe some Samson Ebukam.
Okay, here we go. We got it. The number 84 pick, the third round selection for the Los Angeles Rams. Here's Roger Goodell.
Pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Terrell Lewis, linebacker, Alabama.
I mean, Kirk, did you already have the notes or what? I mean, how do you know all this? How do you know all this? All right, so tell us, 6'5", 262 out of Alabama, Terrell Lewis, just give listeners out there an idea of what the Rams just got on the defensive side.
Well, the thing is, they didn't get a inside linebacker. So this is more of an outside guy with inside rush capabilities. He could be the outside rusher as well, but he's another outside player. So the Rams have a ton of those. So they still don't really address the inside need. But here's a guy that was banged up for a period of time at Alabama. His best tape, I thought, was the 2018 season, where he was just all over the field. 2019, like I said, he had some injuries, had to battle through them, but he's a guy that's going to play, I think, the interior for the Rams, and I'll see where they go. So this is another Alabama player. We talk about LSU. The LSU has 9 players who have been drafted so far in this draft. Now, Alabama, I believe, has 7 guys who have been drafted in this draft so far. So that's just goes to show you the kind of caliber of competition that they've created. I'm sorry, Alabama has 8 now with Terrell Lewis. So the competition that they have within their own teams, and you bring that. That's what the NFL teams always do, and the Rams are doing that as well. right? They're doing that and bringing in a guy who comes from a culture of winning at Alabama, who comes from a culture of playing hard and competing, and bringing that to the Los Angeles Rams. So, look, Michael Brockers and some of those other guys are definitely going to be in for it, because he's going to come and bring some juice, bring some energy, and they're already led by the defensive player, two-time defensive player of the year in Aaron Donald. So it'd be good to have another, you know, a young thoroughbred to come in there and help out.
Kirk, how big is that? I mean, you think that has an incredible impact on some of this draft selection, or where some of these guys are going? What I'm referring to there is the SEC is obviously the class of college football. And right. We talked about yesterday 15 players going in that first round, and that was a record. And when you mention, you know, you've mentioned this multiple times in the show, this guy's from Alabama, this guy went to Florida, this guy's out of LSU. So we've been hitting on these players. Because the competition is so good in the SEC, just using that conference as an example, are there guys that can be overlooked because there are scouts out there, there are GMs out there, there are coaches out there saying, I want somebody from a conference that I know every single week they're playing pretty much a ranked opponent, or a number of guys that would have a chance in the NFL?
Yeah, you know what, Alan, I believe that this draft has really made us understand that a lot of these players who had great tape, who had great film, are being drafted, right? Because they didn't have the extra time to visit with a lot of those players who maybe have went to a non-Power 5 school, right? So you don't have a ton of that extra, oh, I sat down with this kid, I know what he's made up of, I couldn't work him out one-on-one. So that's why you've seen a lot of proven guys, the big conference guys, are just being taken. Guys with great film. So that's what I'm seeing here. I mean, you can turn on an evaluation tape each and every week on a team in the SEC, and maybe it's really hurt, I think, the guys who have, you know, played in some of the non-Power 5 conferences.
No, it's a great point. I mean, I think, you know, you said this yesterday and it stuck with me. How about yesterday when you mentioned there's less second guessing? Yeah, oh, you're less. using the menu as an example. It's like when you first get the menu, you're on page one and you're like, I think I know what I want.
Right.
And then by the time they come out with the specials and you flip to page three, you're like, I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
The simplicity, like, there's more simplicity in this draft, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, more simplicity. I mean, you kind of got to go with your eyes and what your eyes are telling you. And there's not a lot of wiggle room for bringing guys in. Okay, not a lot of wiggle room for bringing a guy in and interviewing them and going through the process, the extra process, where teams should really fall in love with you. I think teams are holding true to their board, and that's a good thing.
Okay, so the Raiders, we'll go back to the Rams here in just a second. Rams take an outside linebacker, Terrell Lewis, from Alabama with their third pick in the draft, number 84. So back to the Raiders real quick, Kirk. Two receivers, 80 and 81. They took a receiver early on as well. Wasn't that their
number 12?
They used number 12, right? And then yep. 19 was a corner. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that strategy, stockpiling on three wide receivers or three receivers in your first three picks or four picks?
Yeah, they got Lynn Downey. Lynn Downey's a little different though. He's a guy that actually played running back, wide receiver, threw some passes, so he's just an athlete. I'm starting to see a trend, okay? Maybe the trend is seeing guys that can play multiple positions, or Taysom Hill, okay? Taysom Hill, the do-everything player for the New Orleans Saints, right?
Yep.
He's the special teamer. He's the other quarterback that comes in. He's the wildcat. He does all of that. Well, we've seen the impact that he's had on games. And this is a copycat league. So when Jalen Hurts gets drafted, okay,
by the Philadelphia Eagles
in the second round, you know, you're going to find a way to put him on the field, right, at some point. He's going to do something. You're going to put him on the field. Then the Raiders now, they kind of got have their gadget guy, right, in Lynn Downey. Now he's going to be able to come in, and you don't know if he's going to be a quarterback. Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? He's a nice little joker, right? I call them jokers, right? Jokers are wild. You don't know where they can go. So now they got a joker. Then they go and get Bryan Edwards, wide receiver, you know, out of South Carolina. So the Raiders are going all in on skill position players. I said it before. They're turning this into a track meet. The AFC West, it's not as good as the NFC West, but it definitely is going to be some interesting games. This team are going to just let it fly. I mean, we may go to see some, Big 12 conference type games in the
some
AFC
shootouts.
Because teams realize that if we're not scoring 40 points against the Chiefs, we're not going to be able to win. Like, you got to score points. You're not going to hold the Chiefs below 25, 30 points. We got to go out and get some guys who can run and can get open. And that's what you're seeing right now from the Raiders.
Patriots on the clock right now with the number 87 pick. Do you agree with Chris Harry when he says that as much as it's going to be a shootout, he feels like the Chargers, they got some type of defense that at least can be honest, I guess you can say.
Yeah, they did. They do have enough defense. And remember, defense really wasn't that bad last year. They added, like you mentioned, Chris Harris Jr., one of the best cornerbacks in all of the NFL. They added a lockdown corner to go with a former Pro Bowler and Casey Hayward. Derwin James was injured for pretty much the three quarters of the season last year. We know about Bosa and Ingram. He talked about Tillery and the Square, like a lot of the guys who they have up front. So they've got some outstanding players. And now you add in the middle linebacker, boom, that's what you were missing. Offensively, it's just going to be the quarterback. Right? How long does Tyrod Taylor have the reins to the offense before he hands it over to Justin Herbert? That's really the bigger question with the Chargers right now.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, we'll get a profile on Terrell Lewis. The Patriots are about to make their pick, and then it's the Browns, the Vikings, the Texans, and then the Las Vegas Raiders again. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa on Kirk Morrison. This is the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, so two picks in the second round, Cam Akers at 52, Van Jefferson at 57, two picks in the third round, number 84, Terrell Lewis, outside linebacker from Alabama. Let's go to Mel Kiper Jr., who's got a player profile on Terrell Lewis.
As a pass rusher with the kind of size and length and athleticism that he possesses, he can be a real factor getting into that backfield. He had 11.5 tackles for loss this past year. Six of those were sacks. 16 quarterback pressures led that Alabama defense. Went back, look at the A&M game when he had the two sacks. He showed the ability to come off that edge and shows that ability to close quickly. Against Arkansas, he had six quarterback pressures in that one game. Against LSU, seven tackles, three pressures. So when he has been at 100%, whether the opponent is big time like LSU or even in Arkansas, he was still bringing the heat. It didn't matter. So he wasn't a guy that just played in spurts. The key is keeping him on the field, hoping he can shake that injury jinx that kind of hampered and threatened his career at Alabama. He can win with speed. He can win with power. Closes in fast fashion. He's a pass rusher, and plain and simple, when he's on the field, he could end up being a double-digit sack guy as a situational performer in the NFL.
All right, there's Mel Kiper's profile there on Terrell Lewis, outside linebacker from Alabama, becomes the number 84 pick for the Los Angeles Rams. Hey, Kirk, how much at this point – at what point of the draft, or if this doesn't happen, then you correct me here, but at what point of the draft do you start just looking at, man, that's the best talent that's available, or basically throughout, are you specifically looking at, we need this player because that position is a void? Because you mentioned earlier, remember how you were talking about competition is good, and you feel right. Like the Rams, they're creating a roster right now where nothing is guaranteed for some of these guys. What do you think happens from this point on? Maybe you can kind of tell some of those who are driving around at this point in the draft when you're almost 100 picks deep, what the strategy becomes.
No, it's still considered picks of need, guys that you need. We've always said when you pick in the first round, especially in the top 10 guys are who you think can be your Hall of Famers, 10-year career guys. Right. And then as the first round goes along, you kind of get guys who you think can make an immediate impact. Right. And then you get into the second round. You're saying second rounders can be starters right away. Like they're coming in. You got to go play. We're not drafting you to just be a a depth guy. We need you to make an immediate impact, if not a backup right away, but at least, or if not a starter right away, at least a backup. Then when you get into the third round, you're just hoping that you can fill a void. Hey, maybe an extra need, and a guy can be a key reserve, but then also can be a fringe starter. Those are what you look at in rounds 1, 2, 3. You start to get into 4. Those is where you start to add the depth, right? And you get into the 5th, 6th, 7th round. These are guys who you're just taking flyers on. Hopefully they work out, or they can be special teams guys that you hold on to for a while and they can really blossom. And then we've seen what the undrafted free agent route has done, right? Those guys get to pick where they go, right? Undrafted free agents pick and sign which teams they go to. Where they can feel like, okay, I can win this competition. I can make this team. So you've seen that a lot in the National Football League. So I wouldn't say that right now is just creating the competition. Yes, you are within your team. But what I'm saying is that the guys who are still being drafted today, day one and day two of the draft now. So that's rounds 1, 2, and 3. These guys are being asked to, if you get drafted, you're coming in and you need to make an impact. You got to go out and play. That's just bottom line. So Terrell Lewis, Rams don't draft you just to come in and you know, move around for a little bit. They're drafting you because they believe that you can be an immediate impact. And so now he'll be thrown in that pass rush mix with some of those other guys.
A necessity, right? Not a luxury, a necessity.
Yeah. Well, and some teams are you know, obviously, you know, we talked about a little bit. Jalen Hurts gets drafted in the second round. That wasn't a position of need quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, but it was a position of need for them to kind of, you know, mix up what they do offensively, so that you could tell that was an added emphasis for them. And so you draft a guy in the second round, he's going to play. They're going to find some ways to get him out on the football field.
Okay, so the next pick for the Rams is not till 104. So we're
time.
The Vikings just picked 89. So we're about 15 picks away from the Rams' next pick. From a position perspective, so they're trying to address needs that they have. They addressed a running back need. They addressed a receiver need. You would have liked a inside linebacker. They ended up with an outside linebacker.
Right.
For that 104 pick, what now becomes the – I was asking this question, you know, what is the – walking into the draft, what was the top priority? Well, now you have 3 picks in and you're addressing right. different needs. What do you think becomes their new priority with their 4th pick in the draft?
Well, safety, inside linebacker, right? Or you can go offensive line, but you think about how you've drafted there over the last couple of years. It wasn't that the Rams' offensive line was bad last year. They were young. I mean, their offensive line was pretty much set, and then all of a sudden the injuries happened. Now you had to bring in your rookies, and they had to play early, which is actually a good thing because now you feel a little more comfortable with those guys moving forward that you don't have that inexperience. So that's why I think that they may steer away from offensive line and then go back to the inside linebacker route. I'm still harping on that inside linebacker position mm-hmm. for them, as well as the safety position outside of John Johnson. They'll probably move some guys around a little bit, but you know, for the most part, man, I tell you, that was a key loss for them, right? Eric Weddle leaving this team for retirement. So you got to find mm-hmm. a way to you know, to get this thing back on track, get this defense back in order, because they're going to have to win some games. It's not always going to be about the offense. This Rams defense needs to take some strides as well.
Was losing Marque Christian as well, was that a big losing him in free agency, was that a big loss as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about depth guys, right? Mm-hmm. These are depth guys that, you know, when you think about it now, you would love to have that kind of guy right mm-hmm. now on your roster, but it just doesn't happen. You know, the NFL, it doesn't allow it to happen. That's why there's free agency, and the Rams didn't really address it a ton in free agency. So that's why I'm thinking they're still going to lean on possibly an inside linebacker, safety. I think they're pretty set at the cornerback position. Remember, they gave the contract to Troy Hill last year, and that works out well for them because I think it's going to be a Troy Hill and Jalen Ramsey situation at the corners. And now you're just trying to figure out the more depth because they drafted David Long last year.
All right, we got a trade.
Yes.
You see the trade on there?
We do have a trade. There's another team drafting right now. Go ahead.
Okay, so the Raiders yes. are trading their 91st pick in the draft to the New England Patriots. So the Patriots moving up.
Mm-hmm.
Does yep. it say the details there? Does it say what
they
what
have
they're
not okay. given up the details? Currently, I'll make sure I have it all because I'm looking at everything as it's happening, right? Real live. But the Raiders at pick.
And Patriots, by the way, just selected at 87. So four picks earlier. Anthony Jennings, outside linebacker out of Alabama.
So what does Nick Saban know that we don't know? Right. What does Nick Saban see? Does he go out and get Jake Fromm? Does he get Jacob Eason, the quarterback from Washington, or Fromm from Georgia? Right. Mm. Is this one of those situations where look at Belichick going up to draft a quarterback in the third round? So here we are. Let it go.
Mm-hmm. You see Belichick in his kitchen. How great is that? Is that not that's a Belichick? Those chairs look like 1977. It's just a. It looks very Belichick-esque.
Yeah, linoleum, you know. Just yeah. So
but I love it. Belichick. He doesn't care.
I got the trade, everything that happened. So here's what happens. The Raiders, they go from 91 to now they'll be picking number 100. Okay, so they're still in the third round. Mm-hmm. But they'll also – I think the Raiders also traded pick 159 as well. So they gave up, it looks to be a fourth rounder, pick 159, but they get back 130. The Patriots are going to get 100, 139, and 172. So, okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned something. You mentioned Kirk when we were talking, and we'll keep you guys posted who the New England Patriots end up taking at the 91st pick in the draft.
Yeah. Still looking it all up, yeah.
Kirk, you mentioned something about
159. 159 is a fifth rounder. So the Raiders trade their pick, this one. So they trade 91 and their fifth round pick, and they move up and they get an earlier pick as well as the Patriots pick at 100.
Okay. Let's do this when we come back. You mentioned an inside linebacker and a safety for the Rams. I want to see if there's a specific player that's still on the board that you think could fill one of those needs for the Rams and maybe be there at that 104 slot. Plus, we'll get you guys the Patriots pick. It has some local ties. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special.
The Las Vegas Raiders have traded the 91st pick to the New England Patriots. And with the 91st pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the New England Patriots have selected Devin Asiasi, tight end, UCLA. Roger, take a
look. Kirk, what do you think of that pick? Right off the bat, you got some local ties there. Out of UCLA, what do you think of that pick for the Patriots?
Well, I'm telling you, Tom Brady is probably upset. He's probably he's mad. Like, why couldn't you get me a tight end last year when Gronk retired? Now you want to draft one when I leave. All right, why did you want to trade away Jacob Hollister to the Seattle Seahawks? Why couldn't I keep Jacob Hollister, right? So, yeah, this is a pick for the Patriots that you know that they needed. They needed some tight end help. They needed somebody who can not necessarily be Gronk, but they needed – that was a position of need for them. That's why when you see a team trade up to get a guy, there's a reason why. Because
there's
not only –
a specific guy.
It's a specific guy that they want, but also maybe that guy was rated maybe the second or high third round pick, and all of a sudden you're in the middle to the bottom of the third round. He's still available. You're saying, hey, that's too much value if we hold true to our board. So that's where you go out and make that trade and go get your guy.
NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. LAPD, a great partner for the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special. Okay, so Kirk, we mentioned this and we talked a little bit about it. So we know the Rams' next pick is at 104. And the Raiders moved down. Where are they at now? 100? I think they're at 100 on the dot. So
yeah, 100.
We'll get Raiders, and then a few picks after that, we'll get the Los Angeles Rams. When you say inside linebacker and safety, those got to be the two positions that the Rams focus in on for their fourth pick today. Are there specific players that are still on the board that you think might be available? What player would you like to see the Rams go after if he's still on the board?
Well, I think just to put it in perspective right now, when you look at just the Rams roster right now at the inside linebacker position, they have Micah Kizer and Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd really wasn't a guy who played off the ball as much. So, and then behind him, I mentioned it before, was Trayvon Howard, Kenny Young, former UCLA Bruin, who they got over in the trade for Marcus Peters last year when they traded Peters over to the Baltimore Ravens. So you've got really got some unproven guys at the inside linebacker position. Troy Reader was another guy who got some burn, you know, last year for injured Micah Kizer. Remember, he injured himself in training camp and couldn't, you know, play and was on IR the rest of the year. I talked about the safety position a little bit because outside of Taylor Rapp, who you drafted last year in the second round, and John Johnson, you are thin, very thin in that secondary, especially at the safety position. And then also, could you go out and grab another corner? Remember, Nickell Roby-Coleman, no longer a Ram this year as well. So do you have enough depth? I mean, I love the Darius Williams. He played well last year. You saw him come on. Obviously, right now, the starters for the Rams will be Troy Hill at one corner, Jalen Ramsey the opposite, and then last year's third-round pick, David Long. I think he's your third corner, or Darius Williams, a mix of those two. And then Deontay Dion, a guy who's a undrafted free agent and made the team. I think they were really high on him. So when you talk about guys who are still available, you know, I'm down at the bottom of my linebacking position. But, you know, still there's a couple players that I'm kind of looking at. I'm just waiting if the Rams pull the trigger or not. I just know that when I look at this roster, you have to add more competition to a couple of these spots. That's all I see for sure. Because I don't know if these guys are going to be starters if you draft them in the third round right now. But these guys definitely could be in the mix, and it just gives you just one more guy that you can throw out there that, you know, hopefully the best man wins and you feel like you've, you know, got a gem in the third round.
All right, so on the clock right now, Titans followed by the Packers, the Broncos, and then the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's what we got for the next few picks. Like I mentioned, 93rd pick is the Titans. Raiders coming up at 100. Rams coming up at 104. Hey, Kirk, you mentioned something that I thought was interesting. When you mentioned that Jalen Hurts so goes number two or goes in the second round to the Eagles, is that a growing trend, by the way? You know, you mentioned that this could be – they're going to find a way – they already got a quarterback, right? And maybe there's some concern with Carson Wentz and his the injuries that he's had in the past, or maybe right. It's just another asset, like you mentioned, right? Like it could be just another weapon and it's used differently. Do you think that will be a trend in the NFL? You know, they always say it's a copycat league, and
yes,
the Saints have obviously kind of used a similar position in that way, I guess you can say. Do you feel like we'll see more of this in this upcoming season?
Yeah, it's a trend right now. It is a trend. But there's a lot of trends that go through the NFL, and all of a sudden they get bunked really quickly. But we could talk about the wing. Remember the wing? Not the wing. What is it? The wishbone. Mm-hmm. Not the wishbone. No. What is it? Wildcat. There it is. Remember the Wildcat? But the Wildcat, it was a extra running back who came in, and a running back who basically was just going to run the football. He took the place of a quarterback, and now it was, you know, basically he was going to take a direct snap and run the football. Well, the Patriots, they got rid of that wing, that formation really quickly. They were like, nah, y'all not about to go ahead and do this wildcat on us, because it started with the Miami Dolphins, too. So what we've seen now in the National Football League is players that actually have taken snaps from center, who are actually quarterbacks, who actually have the threat to throw the football and have thrown touchdown passes in college, have played quarterback in college. That's a different animal, okay? Because now you're talking about double pass reverses, but also the athleticism of these quarterbacks to go out and make plays. Because we saw Taysom Hill, he made catches, he made those mm-hmm. short yardage runs, and then he was over there blocking punts and kicks and all of that. So this is just kind of right now. If you're the NFL, all right, and you're looking around at the NFL is always a numbers game too, Alan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always talking about, oh man, I want to make the 53. I never wanted to be on the 53 man roster. That's just what it wasn't for me. I didn't want to be on the 53. I wanted to be on the 46. Okay. The 46 is the 46 guys that can dress. You're only allowed 46 players to dress in uniform on a Sunday in the National Football League. The other seven players are what we call inactives, actives and inactives, right? That's what just happens 90 minutes before the game. Seven players on the 53-man roster must sit down. Okay, they must sit down. That's it, seven players. You can only dress 46. How do you get the most out of that 46? And how do you divide that up? Because if you think about it, punter, snapper, and kicker, that goes, so now from 46, you're at 43. So now, who's in your 43? And what guys can play multiple positions and what guys can do more for you? And now the backup quarterback can now play running back, wide receiver, special teams. Man, I'm doing well at the backup quarterback spot, or as a guy who can do more as my be my emergency quarterback. So that's just the trend of the NFL right now, man. I'm loving it, loving it.
By the way, I'll say this too: the NFL, just the way this whole thing was conducted, like the last 2 days for them. You know, there were concerns about there might be technological issues. There were concerns with how is this thing going to even work? They were sending out cameras to all the players, or most of the players, I think the top 50-something players or so.
Right.
Just kind of a full scope on the draft. Pretty damn successful, Kirk. I mean, I don't think anybody's walking away from it. Listen, we knew that the opportunity was there. Everybody's at home. But that doesn't mean it's going to go well. It doesn't mean it's going to go smooth. I think not only was everybody at home, not only was, you know, we're a ton of consumers ready to watch the NFL draft, but I think at the same time, it was pretty clean. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I felt like the whole thing was pretty clean.
Yeah, it wasn't the big hiccups that you had thought, right? We haven't had that, and we're still knocking on wood, but we're getting into, I think, pretty easy. I mean, look, you can call, you can do all this. It's just showing you that probably what we've been doing for many years, look, we can do it a different way. Just showing that we can overcome kind of what's going on and still have a great product. I mean, you delivered the numbers to how many people watched the draft. Over 15 million people watched the draft. It was important to a lot of folks, right? And then you're still watching guys achieve their dreams, you know, accomplish some things. So I'm pretty excited, man. I really am about football starting, just because I do want to see some of these guys have the opportunity. And I know the NBA is keeping a close watch. I mean, their draft is scheduled for the month of June, even though the season did not finish. And I wonder, are they, you know, looking at what's going on? Same thing with the baseball draft, even though I know a lot of people don't watch that at all. But the baseball draft has been doing it like this forever. Kirk, they don't have that.
Kirk, I got a text that we're actually, you and I are going to be doing the baseball draft too. Just you and I, and you're going to break down every pick.
I've actually watched the baseball draft, Alan. Yes, I am that much of a nerd. I've watched it on the MLB Network. And that's actually awesome, the MLB draft is very similar to what the NFL draft looks like right now as well. I mean, it really does. I mean, there's no big green room, and you walk around and shake the hand of Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Nah, that's not what happens at all. It is truly like a fantasy football draft or a fantasy baseball draft.
Well, this is crazy too, because I thought Mason and Ireland, so when I do crosstalk with them, they had a good point. And I think the last 2 days seemed normal. What I mean by that is, let's just take it the sports landscape. I know you're a big NBA fan, and I know, you know, NFL is your sport, but you're also a big fan of the NBA.
Correct. Love the NBA.
We'd be in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So
somebody would have been swept already.
Game three, game four is going on like right now.
Somebody
right?
So getting swept tomorrow. Let's be honest. Somebody was getting swept before this weekend was over.
Memphis was going to get swept. All right. They need a couple more.
No. They would have let that Lakers Memphis Grizzlies series stretch out for about a week and a half. They wouldn't just let it go off. Lakers played on the playoffs would have started last week. So Lakers would have played on the marquee Sunday. Uh-huh. And they would have played Wednesday for game two, and they would have put them on Saturday for game three, and then put them back next Wednesday for game four. Like, come
bro,
on.
They would have stretched. Oh, that's the Lakers in a nutshell. They would have stretched that out. But look, let's do this, Kirk. When we come back, I want to have this conversation with you because We'll keep getting into the picks. The Packers are on the clock, then Broncos and the Chiefs. So we'll keep you posted on those picks. Raiders coming up 100, and then the Rams at 104. But, Kirk, just let's talk a little bit about these last 2 days, how they kind of – it almost in a weird way was normal at a time where, you know, nothing is normal. So we'll do that when we come back. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. This is the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. All right, our NFL Draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. Appreciate LAPD's partnership. So, Kirk, we were talking right before the break there. By the way, Kansas City Chiefs on the clock right now. Then the Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens, New York Giants, and then the Raiders at 100. Rams coming up at 104. So, Kirk, in crosstalk today, Mason and Ireland, they were mentioning how there's the last couple days felt normal. What I mean by that is we're not in a normal world right now, and we have no idea what the next month, 2 months, 6 months, year is going to hold. Correct. But we're sitting at home, and this is an NFL draft that was supposed to happen and is happening even with the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think it's a good point where these last 2 days made it feel kind of normal. I know we don't have basketball. I know we don't have that prolonged Laker first round like you were talking about, or, you know, Major League Baseball right now. But the NFL did bring some normalcy to a world that's not normal at all right now.
Yeah. You know, the last couple of days just got our mind off of it, right? It did. It got our mind off of what's been going on in our country, whether it's reading updates, watching the news, just getting all the information, and then just for a couple days, right, you got a chance to cheer for your hometown team, right? Football, that's your identity. Football is your identity. Now, I know you may say basketball is, but I've always said football is your identity. Mm-hmm. When I'm out on the road or you meet somebody, they always say, oh, excuse me, sir, where are you from? And a guy may say, oh, I'm from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. First question I ask, well, are you a Steeler fan, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when people look at me and say, oh, where are you from? I'm from Oakland. Oh, you must be a Raider fan. Okay, yeah. I get that. Mm-hmm. And so everyone kind of has allegiance. You know, some people grew up somewhere else. You know, I got friends of mine who are Niner fans who grew up in Oakland because the Raiders weren't there. And I got friends of mine who their father was a Chicago Bear fan, and they're going to be a Bear fan, right? That's just the way it grew up in the family. So everyone has their allegiance, but that's what brings us all together as sports. That's why you can get 15 plus million people to watch a draft, right? That's how you can get that, because that's what brings us together. That's what brings people to come out to games and go to draft parties and things like that. It's just the camaraderie that comes with just football, your identity. All right. Up until a couple years ago, to 2016, you said, hey, I'm from L.A. People say you must be a Laker fan. Now mm-hmm. the Rams and the Chargers are trying to, you know, change that up a bit. But, you know,
maybe the Rams. Now I'm on to the Chargers.
You know, but it's funny to kind of watch it all take place, yeah. You know, and say, like, wow, like, this has been pretty cool. Like, there's been a lot, you know, and shout out to our first responders, nurses, doctors, everybody who has been handling this pandemic. You know, a lot of people who are hurting at home, you know, who've been furloughed and been laid off. And, you know, I think we've all have known what this pandemic has touched someone in our lives, or it has affected other lives and people that we know. But this was, I think, kind of the outlet, right? The NFL draft gave us an outlet. Like yesterday is giving us one today, and even for me tomorrow, and for people who like to watch the draft tomorrow, rounds 4 through 7, it's still going to give you, I think, just time to watch some kids, watch some guys who've been working their butts off to get to this point and see some dreams come true. And maybe you can draw some inspiration from those stories from those guys. And so that's what I think the draft brings us as well, is giving us inspiration. And you can see, man, these guys have gone through a lot, man. These mm-hmm. guys have had to grow up. Everyone has a story, and it's very unique, and it's always touching to watch.
number 97, Jacob Phillips.
Yes.
Another LSU player goes to the Cleveland Browns.
Number 10.
Inside linebacker. I mean, they might as well just take the whole squad.
Well, 10 in the first night. So 97 players, okay, and 10%. Less than 10% right now are from LSU.
Oh, my god!
And if we go, we could throw 20% from LSU and Alabama.
By the way, they could have just made their own squad and just been an expansion team in the NFL.
Wow,
they could just been they could have been their own team in the league. Baltimore is next, then the New York Giants. After that, at 100, the Oakland Raiders, and just a reminder, the Rams still another pick here in the third round, coming up at 104. So we're about 6-7 picks away from the Los Angeles Rams. Kirk, what do you think? It's so tough to predict any of this stuff. I mean, literally nobody has any idea. But I think it's safe to say that there's a growing concern that you're most likely not going to have fans in these big-time stadiums, at least this calendar year. Like, I don't think that's out of the ordinary, right? We've heard the governor talk about this. Just talk a little bit about L.A., Mayor Garcetti. For Los Angeles, talk about this. They don't feel like, you know, you're going to have these big gatherings, concerts at the Rose Bowl or SoFi Stadium with 70,000 plus in stadiums. But what do you think? The NFL has been fortunate, if that's the right word to use, as far as just timing goes.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, very
and
fortunate.
Very fortunate.
Yeah.
And August would be when, you know, preseason starts and then the regular season in September. What do you think happens? I mean, I've heard so many of these different ideas being thrown out for Major League Baseball and for the NFL. I'm sorry, Major League Baseball and the NBA. What do you think happens with the NFL? Have you heard just some of the kind of plan Bs, plan Cs that are being thrown around?
I think right now it's still early in the process, right? I think right now we're still in the month of April. I think you can really start to make some real contingency plans when we get to the middle of June, maybe end of June, right? Because now things are about a month away. Training camps are about a month away. You just got to start worrying about the preseason games and what's that going to look like. And then, you know, kind of go from there, you know. So I think that right now we've seen some sports start to open up. I know that they're going to have golf is opening up. And obviously, it's a different kind of game. You can be more able to social.
You could have
distance.
That social distancing. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you know, we don't know. Is a vaccine maybe out by then in the next 2 months, month and a half? We don't know. To where people can get the vaccine, or is there going to be some different policies now in place? Right. Or do you
maybe testing more readily available?
Well, the test. Yeah. I mean, we are so far away right now in the month of April. Right. Because we got the draft going. Right. And then that's the one thing about that was that's different that I will give the NBA props on is that when the NBA draft happens, you get a player drafted. You can watch him in your uniform like literally 2 weeks later. Summer league.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, you saw Zion. He got drafted 2 weeks later. He's in the
cameras
Las Vegas Summer League.
Oh,
it's
right?
Las Vegas Summer League. Mm-hmm. And it didn't last long, but you still saw him in your team's jersey, your team's colors, and what it looked like. With NFL, we get the draft now. You don't see these guys until the end of July. I mean, that's a long. You forget, like, oh, we got that guy. I forgot.
That's true. That's very true.
There's still a long, long time that you know a lot of things really have to happen. Over, you know, the next couple months that really give me a better outlook on how we attack football in the fall. And that's just the NFL. If you want to go to college, I mean, that's will schools be back
beast.
Open. It's a whole different monster right there. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things, like I said, a lot of moving parts that have to happen for football to come back. But if there's any positivity that I take from this draft, is that 15 million people on Thursday night showed up to watch the draft. That tells me people want football in the fall.
Oh, no question. No question about that. Okay, so the Giants just picked Matt Peart, offensive tackle out of UConn. That's the 99th pick in the draft. So When we come back, we got some big picks coming that are obviously that will relate on a local level. The Raiders are on the clock. Then the Jets, Steelers, Eagles, and then the Los Angeles Rams back at it at number 104. So that's what we got coming up. Just a quick reminder, don't miss episodes 3 and 4, The Last Dance, this Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app. If you missed episodes 1 and 2, you can stream them now with at ESPN on demand and on the ESPN app. I'll be doing a post game with George Sedano on that. So we'll do that after episodes 3 and 4 this Sunday. Okay, the Raiders pick is coming up next, and then Rams at 104. Stay right here. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special.
Raiders are back on the clock. You got the 100th pick. With the 100th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Tanner Moose, linebacker, Clemson.
Okay, Kirk, let's get your thoughts. There's the Raiders making some moves right here, and they take Tanner Moose out of Clemson.
I don't know what it is about Clemson players and the Raiders. I mean, when did this become a thing? Last year they drafted Cleveland Farrell with their top pick. He was from Clemson. In the second round, they drafted Trayvon Mullen. He's played at Clemson. And then they got Hunter Renfrow later in the draft, wide receiver from Clemson. And now they get Tanner Muse this year, safety from Clemson. So
it's their minor league system.
Yeah, it's
their minor league system.
It is, man. They you know, we talk about obviously the Alabama LSU, but you know, Clemson's got a lot of players in this draft as well, and some darn good football players. So shout out to Dabo Sweeney and the program that he's got over at Clemson. He's turning out some, you know, some first round picks, guys who are playing well. You know, the AJ Terrell and T Higgins, a couple of players who've been drafted already. Isaiah Simmons, obviously one of the biggest names, and now we got Tanner Muse playing here now. So to me, the Raiders got another pick. They needed another safety. Remember, they lost Carlos Joseph. So that was, and then last year, Jonathan Abram, who they picked in the first round out of Mississippi State, was injured early on. And so he'll be coming back. But now you got another guy who can play in the box. As much as we watched Isaiah Simmons, Tanner Muse was a guy who popped up on the screen a lot. So good pick for the Raiders. I mean, they've done well. They had a ton of picks. We'll see how they all pan out. But I think you like none of them. You really scratch your head outside from me was the Arnett pick back in the first round. But everything else has kind of looked, you know, looked respectable.
So on paper, you're okay with what the Raiders did. And are you talking about Damon Arnett? That's the cornerback.
Yes,
that's their
Arnett,
19th
yes.
pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, Damon Arnett. That was the one that they got at 19, right? You mm-hmm. know, at 12, they got the speedster, Henry Ruggs. At 19, they got Arnett. And Arnett, you know, for me, I'm just buyer beware when it comes to drafting cornerbacks from Ohio State. Just buyer beware.
Hmm. Okay, so does this happen often? The New York Jets make a trade to the New England Patriots?
Yeah, in division trading?
Why do I feel like, by the way, I don't even need to know anything. Like yesterday when the Chargers made a trade with the Patriots, just immediately I'm like, Belichick won. I don't even need to know any of the details. Belichick won, Chargers nothing. But just looking at this, the Patriots selecting at 101. What do you think? You've said this before. Sometimes when you make a trade like this, there's got to be a player that you're saying, you know what, he's still on the board. Let's go get him right now. You think this is a predicament for the Patriots?
Yeah. I mean, when you have a lot of picks at your disposal that where you can trade up and trade a pick away, this is the reason why the Patriots do what they do. It's when guys who they value their draft board are still available, and you're saying, okay, let's go up and give them an extra pick so that we can get the guy who we know can fit our scheme, the way that we do things. So absolutely, I'm definitely you know, all in when you see the Patriots trading up to get certain guys, because these guys always seem to play at their best when it happens.
You think they go quarterback?
I do. I really do. I think mm-hmm. they go a quarterback here. I think this is a big need for them, and you know, without Tom Brady. So mm-hmm. if Eason's there, if you know, we talked about Jake Fromm, a couple of those guys. I think Eason's probably the better of the two quarterbacks that's still out there. So I would probably go there if I'm the Patriots. But hey, It's Bill Belichick. What do I know?
All right, so as soon as we get that pick in, actually it looks like, yeah, it looks like Dalton Keene, tight end out of Virginia Tech.
Ah, Dalton Keene. Ah, I like that kid, by the way. Good player, good player. They didn't use him enough.
This, yeah, I was just going to say, so is this, remember how you were saying on their previous pick, they take a tight end, they take David out of UCLA. How do you pronounce his last name there?
Asiasi.
Asiasi. So they take David Asiasi or Devin Asiasi, and the moment they take him, the first thing you said was Brady's probably sitting there saying, "Well, why didn't you get a tight end earlier?" And then here they come back with another tight end, this time out of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I love Dalton Keene too. I had him earlier in the year, Virginia Tech and Old Dominion was my second game of the season, and I got a chance to watch a ton of film on Dalton Keene. He's an H-back, so he's a guy who moves around the formation. You're going to use him in the – he's an outstanding blocker, but he can move, though. So he's just not a Y tight end. A Y tight end – Alan, give you some little football 101 here.
Let's hear it. A Y tight end
is usually a guy who just puts his hand in the dirt, like, you know, sits next to the tackle, you know. So a guy like Jason Witten is kind of a Y tight end, right? He doesn't really move a lot. You put him in motion here or there. But Dalton Keene, man, is a H-back. He is a and it's, you know, rest in peace. But when you think about Aaron Hernandez, right, you know, and a former Patriot. Patriots, when you think of Aaron Hernandez and also Rob Gronkowski, they both were drafted in the same season. This kind of reminds me of that.
Mm.
Okay, with them drafting too. So you have the Devin Asiasi, and now you go with the Dalton Keene, two tight ends. And like I said, I know Babe Brady is just sitting there like, "What y'all draft? What?" But you know, obviously now you're going to be able to see, you know, where the Patriots are kind of leaning toward. They've got some help at the wide receiver position, but now they got a couple of tight ends that they can definitely match up and move and run the football well. So that, they're kind of telling you what they're going to do offensively, right, with these picks.
Okay, so the Pittsburgh Steelers are now on the clock. They're about to actually, I think they just made their pick. Alex Highsmith, defensive end out of Charlotte. So the Steelers make their pick. That's at 102. Before I get your thoughts on this pick, now we're sitting here. I mean, we talked about how important today was going to be for the Los Angeles Rams. You got the Eagles and then the Rams with their final pick of day two. They've already took now. This is going to be their fourth pick. So just looking at all the picks they've taken so far, Cam Akers, Van Jefferson, Terrell Lewis, that's the outside linebacker we talked about out of Alabama. So it's, we're getting close to Rams making their final pick of, today. Your quick thoughts on Alex Highsmith out of Charlotte?
I don't really know much. You know what I mean? When you start to get down into these, you know, you're just getting guys who fit the system, who fit the scheme. Right. And you hope that he comes in and can make some plays. I mean, trust me, no one watched a ton of UNC Charlotte.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
They've only been a Division I program, I believe now. Has it been 6 years? So I know they got a new stadium that they've built. I know they didn't win a game a couple of years ago. So they've been kind of battling their way, getting back. And so, you know, to see some of the guys start to have some NFL talent, I think he's probably one of the first draft picks they've had. From Charlotte, maybe in program, I won't say program history, but definitely in the last 10 years. So it's good to start seeing that kind of talent come out of that program.
I'll say, Kirk, let's look now. So as ESPN does their best available, right, and you had mentioned inside linebackers was what you wanted to see. Their top guy right now is Marcus Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
from Malik Harrison as well. I think he did get drafted. I'm just looking around, but
yep, Sean Bradley after that, Jordan Mack after that.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You think they'll go inside linebacker, or and if you look at safeties, just again looking at who they have, ESPN has as their best available right now: Terrell Burgess out of Utah.
Okay.
Geno Stone out of Iowa. Do any of those names jump out at you? Do you look at any of them and say, "Wow, that would be a great pick," or similar to what you were saying about that pick from Pittsburgh?
Yeah. No, it's just to me, all of them. I mean, right now you get to this point of the draft, it's just you're just drafting a need and hopefully you hit, right? These are what we call the compensatory picks, because the third round ended at pick 96. But these are the picks that are given to the teams that lost more players in free agency in 2019, and then they get rewarded in 2020. So that's how the formula goes. When other teams sign your free agents, okay, then it all gets calculated into a little. I don't know how they do the calculations, but that's why the Patriots were able to get so many of these compensatory picks and able to trade them around a little bit. Before, you couldn't trade compensatory picks. That was not allowed. So whatever your compensatory pick was, you had to stay there. The NFL allowed you to trade those picks, and so now the Patriots have gotten rich off of these picks. But look, I still think linebacker, you can go O-line. I mean, you really can grow all across the board for the Rams.
Okay, let's do this. When we come back, we'll have the final pick for the Los Angeles Rams in day two of the draft. Stay right here, 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special.
With the 104th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Terrell Burgess, defensive back, Utah.
All right, so Kirk, there's a safety right there. So just kind of the way you set it up, two players on offense in the second round, two players on defense in the third round. So that is that's the Rams' final pick in this draft. What's your thoughts on Terrell Burgess?
Well, I think he's a guy that's going to fit where the Rams they need, right? John Johnson was a third-round safety that they got out of Boston College. He's worked out well. Taylor Rapp last year out of Washington. But me and you, we talked about it a little bit earlier. They were very thin at that spot, right? Very thin at that spot. And they got some more depth, right? So Terrell Burgess will be a guy who will go right in, and he'll be a contributor. He'll probably make that 46-man roster I keep talking about, right, Alan? Mm-hmm. Like, he'll make that roster on Sunday and definitely be a part of this Rams team. And be a key contributor right away. I mean, he has that kind of ability. He's a big-time tackler as well. So special teams, you'll see his name early doing that, and maybe they find some packages to put him in as well to get him acclimated as quickly as possible to the NFL.
Good day for the Rams?
I think good day. I mean, they got, you know, what they wanted. I mean, the running back was huge, right? They needed someone to help them out for losing Todd Gurley. Cam Akers, he is that guy. And they got a receiver as well. And then you go out and get another possibility of a big-time edge rusher in Terrell Lewis. And then you go out and now you get Terrell Burgess. I mean, you've done your homework. You've done what you can with what you have, right? You didn't try to go out and try to do too much. You did what you could with what you have, and that's really all you can do as a team, and you hope that those guys pan out. And you still have, you know, 4 through 7 tomorrow that you hopefully can grab one more guy that people probably passed up.
Yeah, they'll have obviously an opportunity tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds for the NFL, and Baltimore is on the clock right now. How about that? How crazy is that? Think about this, Kirk. Just 106 picks in these, you know, obviously in these 2 days. But even today, like with all these picks, and when we got on, we were probably around pick 60 or something like that. Maybe even a little before that. Kind of flew by.
Yeah,
gotta be honest.
It moves pretty fast. So. That's just the way it is, man. You start getting into a groove, this thing moves really, really quickly.
All right, so Baltimore with the final pick. Kirk, what do you, as we kind of look at, once Baltimore makes its final pick, we'll let you guys know. Adam Trotman from Dayton went to the Saints as a tight end at 105. Baltimore on the clock right now. Their pick is coming up. When you look tomorrow for, by the way, not just the Los Angeles Rams, Chargers obviously have some key picks tomorrow as well. They have 112, 151, 186, and 220. That's for the Chargers. Raiders still obviously some picks, a pick in round 4 and a pick in round 5. For the Chargers, what is there something specific you think that they have? They've taken care of certain things so far, but tomorrow, what's the position that you think is most important for the Chargers?
Well, I just still, you know, you got to find what's available, right? This is where, you know, you have a nice little meeting between everyone. You grab all the coaches, you grab all the staff and evaluators, and you say, okay, who do we miss out on? Who is still available? and what are guys, what are our needs? This is where coaches, okay, big time coaches have to stand on the table for a guy, scream from the rafters and say, hey, I want this kid. We need this kid. So coaches have a lot of influence over the next couple of rounds. As you get, sometimes you may not have a position of need, but you just need to grab a guy, right? A coach say, you know what? I need this tackle. I need this guard. I need this linebacker. Coach is going to have a lot of influence tomorrow.
Okay, so the final pick is in. So the first three rounds of the NFL draft is done. Tyree Phillips, offensive tackle out of Mississippi State, goes 106. So he's the final pick to round number three. Kirk, you ready for tomorrow?
I'm all ready for tomorrow, man. Rounds 4 through 7. So be fun. Be fun times as I wrap up another draft tomorrow. But I definitely enjoyed the last two nights with you, Alan. Appreciate you having me, and appreciate always the time, man.
Kirk, thank you, man. We greatly appreciate it, too. I know from a insight perspective, nobody better in the business on the NFL front. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for being a part of the draft yesterday and today. All right, bud?
Sounds good, brother.
All right, that's Kirk Morrison right there. Quick reminder, don't miss episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance this Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app. If you missed episodes 1 and 2, you can stream them now with at ESPN On Demand and on the ESPN app. Right after the show is over, right after episode 3 and 4, myself and George Sedano will do a little post recap of The Last Dance. So we'll do that again on the ESPN Los Angeles on the Twitter feed and on Periscope. Appreciate everybody that tuned in. This has been another great day of NFL draft coverage. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you, of course, to our partner, LAPD. Make sure to visit joinlapd.com. This has been the 710 ESPN 2020 NFL Draft Special.